almost gone, doubters and in arms of God. Thank you, Barnes, for that. It's such an encouraging, excuse me, such an encouraging thing to think about. The creator of this universe will accept us and embrace us and love us. What a powerful message. And we can depend on him to do that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're looking at verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. You know, we're looking at, and Jesus is talking about, and acknowledging God meeting our needs. We've gone from Luke and Luke's description of it to Matthew's description of this model prayer that Jesus gave us. And so as we look at this model prayer that God has given to us, he said he will meet our needs. Now, I'll remind you that the petition that Jesus called us to pray is a very important one. We're combining the two versions of this model prayer as given by Matthew and by Luke. And so in that first petition that Jesus said we need to pray with, he talked about our Father. Jesus referred to Yahweh, the Father, 165 times in the four Gospels. Jewish people, since the giving of the law on Mount Sinai to Moses, were afraid to even say the name of God. And they had taken the consonants YHWH and placed the vowels from the word of and developed a name that became in English, Jehovah. And so they would not say the name. I remind you that when Moses asked God what his name was, it's translated, I am that I am. But in reality, in the Jewish language, it's the breath. Breathing in and breathing out. That's the name of God. Now the Jews, as they went about their lives and as they were a part of worshiping, they find this Jesus come in a later time, and he is the promised Messiah. Now, they missed that completely. The religious leaders did not understand the scripture and the prophecies to understand that the Son had come, that his Son had come, the promised one, the Messiah had come. And here he is using the name Adonai. He is using the name Father. As far as they were concerned, in an immediate slanderous way, they were not following the name. And when you and I accept the Son's death, burial, resurrection, ascension, coming again, appearance to us, into our lives as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted into the family. And when we are adopted in the family, we're given the privilege of saying, Father, or Daddy, Adonai. Oh, how important that is for us. Hallowed be your name. We also are asked to not only know the name of God, but we hallow it, that we are able to express it in such a way that we're bringing glory and honor to him. We're worshiping him. You and I hallow the name of God when we trust him, when we fear or reverence, obey, and glorify him. Your petition is, Lord, use me to hallow, to glorify, to praise, to sanctify, set apart your name before all the world, before my family and friends. We're saying to him, God, work through me to bring glory to yourself. Now, that's a powerful statement that we want God to use us to bring glory to him. Does he do that in your life? Is he giving glory to himself for you? That if your language, if your attitude, if your habits, if all those things are not in line with the way Jesus taught us to live, then you're not hallowing his name. You're not bringing glory to his name. And I would challenge you to understand that and start to bring glory to him in everything that is a part of your life. And then he said, pray for his kingdom, your kingdom come. We also seek the kingdom to come into our lives every day, all day. And once you commit to allow the Lord Jesus to be a part of your life and become the Savior of your life, the kingdom of God comes to abide in you and upon you. He lives in your heart and in your life. Now we have to abide in Jesus. That is, we stay connected to Him. We learn of Him. We lean on Him. We rely on Him. We give Him control of our life. Jesus said the evidence that He is in our lives is that control, and we're loving one another. We love each other. That's imperative why maybe some people are hard to love. Believe me, I know that. And I can love people, but I don't have to accept their ways, their attitudes, the things that they do. You see, our obedience to His teachings demonstrate love for others, and that's a must. Our daily walk with Him will demonstrate our love for Him and our love for others. Now we petition the Father, provide for our daily needs. Provide for our daily needs. I need to give you a report from yesterday that's very quick. We decided yesterday that we have to sell the church. That things are going on that we just can't handle anymore. We developed a way of appraising the value of our church. We developed a way of a target audience that we want to market it to. We developed a means of how we're going to market our church. And so we're beginning that process now. Now put your hair and feathers up, because I'm not talking about selling the property or the building. I'm talking about selling our ministry, selling our Lord, demonstrating our Lord to the people around us and our community. McDonald's taught us that you don't hear a message on the TV until you've heard it 17 times. That's why the commercials are over and over and over and over. Every day. And you hear the same ones, and we're just beginning to understand what's going on in the political world now with their commercials. But you and I, as we look to the Heavenly Father, as we're wanting to glorify His name, we have to ask Him for our needs today. How can we glorify Your name today? How can we do what You want us to do today? How can we reach the community You want us to reach today? We do that by using the terms of our world, selling our church to the community. What's the value of your church? What's the value of your life in the community as you live day by day? If it is not demonstrating, if it is not proclaiming the Lord God, then you need to pray for what you need today to show Him for a lost and dying world. Look with me at Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. Pray then this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, Jesus taught us to pray for the sustenance that we need. The sustenance needed today. Manna from God. God provided manna in the Old Testament. The Jewish people understood clearly the reference that Jesus was giving to the daily bread. They had heard all of their lives about God providing the manna. During the 40 years, their people were in the wilderness roaming around because of the sin of disobeying God. Every morning, they would get up, and manna would be across the land and across everything as the dew on the ground. You know the dew, when it falls in the mornings, if you get up and go out, it's over everything. And in the wintertime, it turns to ice and so we had frost on our windows. That's the way the manna came while they were in the wilderness. Yes, they were in the desert. But God provided every day the food they would need for that day. Every morning, the manna would be there. It was a sweet, honey wafer. It was a crisp, stiff wafer that sustained life for them and for the people for 40 years. They would gather it each morning. And what was to be eaten that day, they could take in. Now, if they tried to store it overnight so they could have more for tomorrow, it would mold, it would mildew, worms would go into it, it would spoil. God was teaching them, you can depend on what you need every day. Now, except on the sixth day of the week, which is our Friday, they could gather two portions on Friday because it was not going to come on the Sabbath day. They were going to hallow, they were going to honor the Sabbath day and not collect the manna because God provided it the day before, and they would have enough to sustain them that night. And the next day, manna was a part of God's provision. During the 40 years that they were in the wilderness, the Lord, the meat, the protection, the care from the enemy, no disease, their clothes didn't wear, their kids didn't wear out, everything that they needed to exist day by day, they had. It was important that they have it every day. The animals lived and prospered day by day. Everything they needed, Yahweh provided during those 40 years in the wilderness. And then he gave them the promised land. The crops that they did not plant, the vineyards that they had not planted, the homes and barns they had not built. When they occupied the land, coming in and taking it by force, because God promised it to them, God promised the enemies, protected them, they overcame the enemies. Everything was theirs to love and cherish and use to worship God. 40 years before, 10 spies said there is no chance. They are too big, there's too many, we can't do it. Two guys said, oh no, God's with us, it can happen. 40 years later, those two guys led them in and they occupied the land just as God had promised, everything. Now understand, when Jesus said, pray for today's bread, pray for today, he's not talking about biscuits and cornbread. As much as we need them to live, and I enjoy it. Try to have them often, you know, in spite of the diet that they're trying to put me on. But here Jesus is talking about, and he's teaching us to pray for the temporal things. The things we need for life, the things that we need for today, food, clothing, housing. It would also include family, peace, good government, weather. Those things that sustain life, we are to pray for. Do you know that 1/3 of the world's population lives on less than $1 a day without adequate water and sanitation? 2/3 of the world's population live on less than $2 a day, lacking clean water and sanitation. Think about that. And God is saying to us, you pray for what you need today. And that goes against everything we're taught as Americans. I mean, that's just not the way we think. That's not the way we do business. He's telling us, though, we don't have to pray, and we should not pray for lavish things. Proverbs 30, verse 8 says, give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and steal and profane the name of God. Do you catch what the Proverbs author is saying, what Solomon's saying to us? Give me what I need today, because if I don't, I will get to the point to say, who is the Lord? Is not most of our population saying that today? Who is God? I don't believe in God. I don't trust God. I don't depend on God. Oh, it's quite a contrast in the world that we live in. We are praying, we are to pray that God give us what we need to sustain today's life. Yesterday, I talked to two people that are struggling in grief because of the death of a loved one. Totally different. Completely opposite. One of deep faith and trust in a life that is dependent on God for 20-something years. And there was a commitment that God would walk her through this experience, saying, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't understand. I don't know. But I know God. Another saying, I cuss God every day because my four-year-old is gone. And as I struggled to help them understand that's not the way to deal with it, I went through the plan of salvation. I taught them about daily communication with God. Yeah, you can tell God what you think. He's big enough to handle that, but you got to come back and say, give me what I need today. Don't give me what I need next week or next month or next year or next 10 years from now, next decade. Oh, no, give me what I need today. We are to pray to sustain today's life. But then he talked about the source as well. God still provides today. Our world exists because God cares for it and loves it. He sustains our world. Matthew 6, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in verse 25, therefore I say to you, take no thought about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. It is not life more than food and the body than clothing. Look, the birds in the air, for they do not sow, nor do they reap or gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much better than they? Gene and I had a privilege of sitting in a den yesterday looking out over a backyard full of deer coming in and sustaining their life. We heard about being able to feed the deer, coming up and eating out of their hand. They're being sustained daily. What a joy it is for us to realize that the God of the universe cares about us. Not only does he care about creation, the birds and the fish and the animals and all of that, the deer, but he cares about us and he provides for his children. We think very harshly of people that don't provide for their children, don't we? You can't think of God harshly. He will provide for his children. Not only provide what you need, not necessarily what you want. The God of creation knows what you need. When we ask for our daily bread from God, from Yahweh, we are saying, you are the source of my life. If I live, it will be because you and your gracious gifts. It is because you sustain me. Your love and your care provide for me. If the flowers and the birds are sustained by a living God, do you think he's going to ignore our needs? Matthew 10:30 says, but the hairs on your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Now, I get it. Some of us don't have very many hair anymore, so it's easy to count. But even those of you with heads of hair, God knows how many don't. He knows what you need. He's going to provide, just like he does for the sparrows. Because you're more valuable than the sparrows. You and I voice praise to God. We can declare God. We can worship God. We even pray, may the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You see, God demonstrates his love for man. He cares for man since creation. Even after man sinned against God, God provides care for man. Until he sent his one and only son. He made a way through death, burial, and resurrection of his son for man to spend eternity with him. Until that time, he's going to provide for our needs. Then he will then he will send Jesus to gather us home to spend eternity at the throne of grace. In the beginning, Yahweh provided the plants for food to sustain life. After the flood, he introduced the eating of animals as a part of sustaining life. After he gave the law, he instituted dietary laws as well. And the purpose was to keep the people of God from eating with the other nation, from fellowshipping with the other nation. As God would move through time to when he would send his one son, he required a pure bloodline. They did not eat with other nations. They were not in fellowship with other nations. They did not intermarry with other nations. But then remember the book of Acts. Peter was called to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. And Peter's wondering, now what in the world am I going to do? Go to a Roman's house? Go to a Gentile's house? And he fell asleep, and a sheep came down of heaven with every animal on the planet on that sheep. And God said, and give him to me. I never eat anything unclean. And because everything clean was with the unclean on the sheep, everything was unclean. Peter said, do it 2 times, then 3 times. Not me, I don't eat unclean. And the angel said to Peter, what God calls clean, don't you call unclean. And he broke the barrier down. Paul said later on, there is no Jew, no Gentile. There's no free, there's no slave. There's no male, there's no female. There's no rich, there's no poor. We are all together. We are to be together. The messenger said, don't call things that God created and called clean. You see, he took away the dietary law. Now, I understand that we don't always eat right. I make fun because of the diets the doctors have put me on. I get to eat cardboard now. Doesn't have sugar and salt in it, you know. I can deal with that, the reality of it. But there is that idea that the supplication is there. Jesus told us to ask God to give. Give. The picture is of a child coming to his or her parents and asking for food. This is so childish. A while ago, I went downstairs. And I went into the Sunday school class with the young children. And they were just baptized. And there sat the snacks on the table. And the two guys were just enjoying them, having fun, laughing together, offering the preacher something, and all that kind of stuff. And it was wonderful to see. And it reminded me of the times that we get to eat together. Oh, we have to understand the picture is that child coming. You know, from a very early age, a baby will let you know when they're hungry. You remember that? Long after the birth, they're going to need food. The need for food kicks in, fussing, and crying, and moving, and all begins. And you learn to understand the sounds that a baby makes. And you can discern the sounds, whether they're hungry, they're changing, they're hurting, whatever, you learn from the sounds, the whole language. And as they grow older, they grow to need a different kind of food, more food, and they learn to express themselves. The choir that's tugging on your foot, your pants leg, and saying, I'm hungry, I'm sitting at the table, and I said, bring some bread, they want some. Hungry, they will beg. You don't have to beg God to provide. You see, we do not have to awaken him in the middle of the night and say, I'm hungry, bring me something to eat. We're not working or laboring for those beginning petitions, our Father, hallowed be your kingdom come. We're not doing those so he's going to provide for us. Because he provides for us, we will cry to our Father. We will hallow his name. We will seek his kingdom to come into our life. If not, we do not do these things, God's not obligated to do it for us the way you think of it. But God's not like that. He provides even when we don't live up to our part of the deal. Psalms 37:25, I have been young, and now I'm old. And I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their offspring begging for bread. The righteous are gracious and lend, and their offspring are a source of blessing. That speaks to us that we're servants of God. We're going to do the things that please God. The petition tells us God takes care of his children. Psalms 33:18, the eye of the Lord is on those that fear him, on those that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive. Then, this prayer will not do away with the bad things that happen in life. But the psalmist said, the eye watches, God's eye watches those that fear him. I was talking to that father yesterday as he expressed his anger. We talked for a while, and of course the preacher mode kicked in on me. And I reminded him, I said, you know, as bad as it is for you, think about that four-year-old standing at the front of the front. He loved to sing, he'd already told me. I said, she's singing. When the myriads of myriads sing, think about what she's singing before the living God. Would you take that away from her? Just because you, yes, surely not. Hebrews 11 says, still others have trials of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They are stoned, they're sawn in two, they're tempted, they're slain with the sword, they're wandered around in sheep's goat's pens while destitute, afflicted, and tormented. The world was not a worry of them. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains, in the dens and in the caves. They all have attained a good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise. For God provided something better for us so with us we would be made perfect. He talked about the saints of old. That's Paul writing. He's talking about the saints of old. They were persecuted, they were killed. They were mocked. They were all these different things happened. And yet they have a faith in God. And they are in heaven now worshiping. And he said, we get to go there too because we have seen the promise that they looked for. That was the Messiah. Because of that, we're made perfect, just like they were made perfect. You see, Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. The point of salvation is not the end in heaven. That's not why we are saved at the end in heaven. That's the benefit. I say the Lamb book of life is open. Our name is written. We start with the blessings of his children. Come to him. But as we pray, we stop, we sit, we eat, we acknowledge the Father's blessings and care for us each and every day. That's the point. Each and every day we can glorify God for what he does for us and in us. Paul was in prison writing these kind of things. The other disciples had been martyred because of these things, and yet they held a hope that it's in Jesus Christ. It can be difficult to help our children and grandchildren sustain, understand all that food and every aspect of our lives are coming from the Heavenly Father to love and care. But we are to respond by worshiping him and allowing our family to be a part of it. Part of the reason is because we do not intentionally connect the dots. We don't intentionally work hard. And we will work hard in developing plans and strategies, develop our big, hairy, audacious goals, and we'll work hard at the task day in and day out, and we'll take credit for that hard work. But hard working and planned works If the plan works out, it's still God's blessing of health and strength and knowledge and wisdom that allows these things to happen. I said I didn't come with a strategy of how we would revitalize Pinecrest Baptist Church. I said we would worship, we would pray, we would study God's Word, and come up with what God wants us to do. And it seems like I'm dragging my feet, someone told me recently. We need to do more. We need to do more. And I get that. But until we have unity, until we're bound together in obedience to what God wants us to do, we're not going to succeed. We'll become one of the 4,000 churches a year that is closing right now across the United States if we can't understand what God wants us. If we're not going to understand what God wants. You see, we have to understand everything is under God's control. And when His children pray, He hears them. If you're not a child of God, the Father does not hear you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive the sin and heal their land. Paul tells us in Romans 8, for those that are led by God's Spirit are God's. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children and His children heirs of God. Co-heirs with Jesus, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also glorify with Him. But it's all up to you. He will never force you. He will never force Himself upon you. You have to open the door of your heart. Same thing about our church. You remember standing at the door and laying on a seat and knocking? You said, if you'll open, I'll come in. That's what He's saying to us today. You have to open your heart and allow Him to come in and make Him Lord of your life. So how do we do that? We do that through the ABCs that we've used so many times. You admit that you've sinned. You believe that Jesus died for you. You commit yourself to Jesus Christ and want to make Him Lord of your life. And you dedicate yourself to becoming a disciple, a learner, a follower, a teacher for Christ. And you follow Him to wherever He leads you to go, doing whatever He calls you to do. You have to commit to learn from the Holy Spirit. We are promised the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you, John 14:26. The reason we don't know God, God's will, and God's purposes is because we don't talk. We don't let Him talk to us. God talks through His Bible. Like to be said through the church of worship, through friends that speak into your life, even the circumstances of life can teach you something. But we talk to God in prayer and worship. And if those things aren't happening, we're not going to be close to God. The question is, will you answer His call and be a follower of Christ? Would you admit, believe, confess, and dedicate yourself to discipleship? Do you want to be a part of the body of Christ that will do those things? We have said that's our job as a church. That's our purpose as a church. To make believers, to develop missions, and to develop ministries. Those things are part of what we're to do. So the question is, will you commit yourself to the kingdom of God today? That's how we do it. I want to use the three circles again to remind you about the process of salvation. You can download this to your phones on an app. It will give you the scripture and everything and walk you through it. You can sit down with someone. It was developed by someone sitting at the table eating with someone, taking a napkin and a pen, just drawing this out on the napkin to win people to faith in Christ. You see, God's design was created in the beginning of the world. Everything that we know, God designed in creating. And a part of that design was man and a relationship with man. The Bible says God came and walked in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve, had a conversation with them. Think about that. But man sinned. He broke the laws of God. He broke the one teaching of God. Don't eat of this tree. Satan came along and said, oh, God, I don't want you to be like him. If you eat like that, you're going to be like God. So they ate. And they did have no good from evil, but they were banished from Eden. They were cast out of the beautiful garden because of their sin. And they came into brokenness. They lived in brokenness. The hearts were separated from God. They were broken. They didn't have a relationship with God anymore. And that brokenness expressed itself in so many different ways. You can read the scripture and you understand what God's people did. Even today, you can look around at the brokenness in our world today. The brokenness of individual lives, and we think of addictions and things like that. But it's so much more, the relationships in our families, the relationships with our fellow workers, the relationships with our teammates, the relationship with other believers. There is a brokenness that is disconnected. And that brokenness is a judgment upon us. But God has taught us that if we repent and we believe, we can come back into a relationship with Him. We accept the gospel. Paul said, if you repent of your sins and you believe Jesus was raised from the dead, you can be saved. That confession of salvation brings it about. That's the gospel. And when you take in the gospel, when you believe and embrace the gospel, then you pursue that relationship with God again, and then you have fellowship with God again. And He uses you in the spread of the gospel and bringing others into a relationship with Him. You see, that's a way that we can tell others about Jesus. We can explain. We can help them understand. Now, I didn't take time to go through the scriptures that is in the application or on the website. We even can get track with that in to help people understand. But I want you to understand that because you have a relationship. You can tell other people. But first, you have to know in yourself. I would encourage you, if you're not a believer, accept Him today. Come and tell me about it. Let me pray with you. If you are a believer and not living for Him, I would invite you to become a part of this church through membership. Baptism upon a confession of faith, great prayer of letter, or a statement if no letter is available because the church or die. Maybe today we want that relationship with fellow believers to take the gospel into the community. And maybe today we need to say, Lord, I'm not as good in the way I'm called to be living. I've been thanking you. I haven't been praying like I should. Maybe today you do that by saying, I want to renew myself. God has spoken. We want you to respond. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of hearing your word, to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us about praying today for our daily needs. Help us understand that you sustain life, you give life, you provide life, you can sustain the life and the ministry of this church if we will demonstrate the relationship we have with you every day. Help us worship and praise you through our life. Oh, we ask it all in Jesus. Amen.